Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, well, well. We're finally here. What do I say? Did Dave explain that well enough to you? Here's the situation. This is, indeed, the launch of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and I couldn't be more excited. Hybrid jazz is a term that has been bounced around for a little bit in the circles that I travel in Baltimore. Having once been involved in contemporary jazz, and I'm not necessarily going to say the S word, but I figured that everybody needs to play in the same sandbox. So you're going to hear a little bit of traditional, a little bit of contemporary. You're going to hear some things that I think should be considered under the banner of jazz, but actually everybody in the show that you're going to hear is really focused on jazz, and that's my big priority, because there's a lot of people who do a lot of different genres, but the fact of the matter is that the folks who focus on jazz are the ones who are close to my heart, like this gentleman you hear in the background, Daoud Saeed. He has our theme music in the background. You can get him on Reverb Nation. Find out some tracks that you like. His name is spelled Daoud Saeed. First hour is music. Second hour, our special guest, my dear friend, Jared, one of the most amazing sax men on the planet. And if you have never heard Jared, you're going to be in for a treat. Let's get started, shall we? We're going to do things a little bit different, I think you'll find, and I thank you so much for joining me, Trish Hennessy, on this really special day. What possibly could we play to kick off the first hour? How about John Coltrane?
Thank you.
Thank you. got an island in the Pacific, and everything about it is terrific. I've got the sun to tan me, palms to fan me, and an occasional man. I love my island. It's very lazy. If I should ever leave it, I'd be crazy. I've got papayas, peaches, sandy beaches, and an occasional man. When I go swimming, I am always dressed in style. 'Cause I go swimming wearing just a great big smile. My little island is made for pleasure, and in the cool of evening it's a treasure. And when the hour grows later, what is greater than an occasional man? My little island is such a beauty, you may forget to heed the call of duty. But if you give the slip to your ship, miss your trip, take a tip and play an occasional dame, an occasional dame, an occasional dame, an occasional dame.
out of Youngstown, Ohio. Oh, my, that's tasty. Sound Doctrine, headed up by Jerry B., one of the better drummers on earth or elsewhere. Unbelievable. From the CD called Inspire, that was Sacred Place for Gary, a real special friend who Jerry B. lost some time ago, and I wanted to do something in tribute to Gary. Just love these guys, Sound Doctrine. Just came to Baltimore a couple of weeks ago and tore up Baltimore and D.C. This CD, Inspire, actually Sound Doctrine, is labeled as, I think this is Jerry B.'s term, funk jazz fusion, but it's a whole lot more. Just real interesting takes on stuff that is straight ahead or R&B flavored jazz, a lot of gospel stuff. Jerry's a real spiritual guy. Just amazing. Two previous CDs are called Perseverance and Endurance. So you pretty much know the positive place where these guys are coming from. Sound Doctrine for you. Before that, Gail Martin, Philadelphia girl turned Baltimore gal from her CD, In Love Again. And she had some really cool personnel on this CD with her, I have to say. Larry Willis on the keyboard, Eric Kennedy, and Herman Burney. Just real nice stuff there. An Occasional Man. I'm not saying it's my philosophy. I'm just saying it's the title of the song. My name is Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And it's really been a gas so far, especially when you get to play a particular CD from John Coltrane, Blue Train, as a matter of fact. The title, title track has been talked about for so long because this, on Blue Note, was the sole effort for Train as leader. So this has some significance in the history of jazz. What track you heard was I'm Old Fashioned. Now, that's one of those delicious little Kern and Mercer songs that a friend suggested that he do, so you could hear the softer side of John Coltrane. And I'm telling you, I guess there has been some controversy through the years about the personnel on this particular CD. Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Philly Joe Jones on drums, say no more, Curtis Fuller on trombone, and Lee Morgan on trumpet, and John just kicking it out on tenor sax. The fact of the matter is that Blue Note really was so respected, especially back in those days. Now, here was John Coltrane. He was a few days shy of turning 31. Can you imagine this? Recorded September 15th, 1957. Having played with Miles, having played with Monk, and just really coming into his element, Blue Note took care of their artists. This is how much they took care of their artists. They paid them before the rehearsal started. So that was some integrity right there. And folks believe that this particular album was some of Train's best work because he felt comfortable knowing that he was going to get taken care of. I'm Old Fashioned, the first song that you heard on the show. And let's dive right into some more, too. And don't forget, Jared is coming up in our second hour. We're really looking forward to Jared. This is something that you ordinarily would not hear on a jazz station, but let us just say we have artistic freedom here. I think that what we have here, and I know I just described this group from the 1970s, talk about perseverance. They're still kicking it. I think it's sort of like Andalusian, French jazz, Romanian rhapsody, and flamenco with a side trip to Morocco. I'm talking about the Gypsy Kings. Get ready for this. This is so beautiful. From their CD, Love and Liberty, or Liberté, if you will, this is Madre Mia on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you.
yo me encuentro solito. Si no te tengo a mi lado, ¿y ahora qué? Madre mía, madre mía, madre mía, de mi alma, madre mía, madre mía, de mi alma.
said with words that had wings of feeling deep within. The heart of a soldier softened by, of all things, a truth he knew would carry him. All my dreams have known the month of August. Living seems to make the fable true. All our thoughts and deeds have come from August, and I wouldn't make it on without you. Summer wind, a life filled with love, the youngest child of three. Soon as the years would tell them, like turned to love, his precious friend and wife to be. All my dreams have known the month of August. Living seems to make the fable true. All our thoughts and deeds have come from August, and I wouldn't make it home without you.
What a pleasure it is to play one of the premier fabulous spirits in the universe, Mark Prince, from his glorious CD, Fraction of Infinity, with Gino Young on vocals there. Hey! August for Karen, Mark Prince's wife. Beautiful stuff. You talk about an eclectic mix of some jazz here and some classical stuff. Just beautiful. This CD came out about a year or so ago, maybe 2 years now, and it features such personnel. Mark Prince, a drummer based in the D.C. extended area, an amazing background, just one of those interplanetary beings that you wish were around you 24 hours a day. That's how sweet he is. Michael Bowie on bass. Federico Gonzalez Pena on the keyboards, David White on tenor sax, DeAndre Schaefer, Alvin White, God bless him, on guitar, Greg Boyer on trombone, David Merlin Jones, soprano sax on here, and Mark on drums on all tracks. Just great stuff. Mark Prince, let me see here. You can go to CD Baby and find him. Matter of fact, let me tell you about all the artists that you've heard. GailMartin.com, SoundDoctrine.com. We heard two from Tony Bunn. Let me tell you about Tony Bunn. You heard something from his Small World CD. Tony Bunn, one of the more fascinating people, honestly, both sides of his brain working, Baltimore-based, now living in Denmark. I'm not even going to explain. Tony Bunn has been a rocket scientist, has toured with the late, great Sun Ra, has his own notion of what bass playing is all about, as you heard on that stunning track written by his friend Paul Soroka, Palermo. Just beautiful. On that CD, you should know our good friend Kevin Walker, also contributing a lot to the CD, Arshak Saranyan on keyboard, Dennis Chambers, who I understand is going to be on David Letterman's show tonight. Now, I know the show is going to be archived, so Dennis is going to be on tonight, which is the 25th of August. Mike Fitzhugh, also on that CD by Tony Bunn. I'm so tickled to be able to play him. Trish Hennessy here, and the name of the show is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And I've been on Blog Talk Radio before. My wonderful friend and the creator of Cool Jazz Conversations, Joy Hall, is just about leaving now for her Alaskan cruise. So she can't hear this. She'll hear this later on. God bless her. Still with Cool Jazz Conversations, doing my own thing because you need to hear some music. You truly do. Jared is going to astound you in the second hour. We've got about 17 minutes or so to go. How about if we dip into some more music? You don't think, for those folks who know me well, you don't think an hour is going to go by and I'm not going to play George Duke? What are you, nuts?
Thank you.
the goddess that is known as Lori Williams. Oh, gracious. I just got a chill that will propel me back to Philadelphia, my hometown. And thank you for checking in, Mark. God bless the friends who have posted like crazy on Facebook. Oh, my God. So, so beautiful. Lori Williams, D.C.-based, Healing Within, the name of the CD. Little nod to Freddie Hubbard, thinking about Al Jarreau. Lori did her own lyric there, too. One of my favorite songs of all time, Little Sunflower. What a CD this is. Had a chance to see her with Joy, as a matter of fact, Joy Hall, my partner in crime, a few months ago at Blues Alley. Just, I'm telling you, it was spiritual. It really was. On this particular track, and there's more involved, Alan Johnson, he did the arranging on this, and he's also playing that Yamaha C7A. Mark Prince, again, on drums. I'm telling you, this boy's in demand. So cute, too. Michael Bowie, again, on upright bass. Tracy Cutler on saxophone. And those glorious vocals, just unsurpassed, really. She's one of the best that there is, Lori Williams. And as a matter of fact, Brad Bayerwald, who was her engineer on this particular CD, said he was blown away because what you heard was true. There was no overdubbing. There was no second takes, pretty much. It was just that raw voice of Lori backed up by superior musicians who really loved her. Man, that was a treat. Also, Slim Man, yay! Griselda in Texas, that's for you. 1,000 Miles Away, the name of the CD. Slimman.com, by the way. And Lori Jazz, LoriJazz.com, by the way, for Lori. Slim Man from Baltimore, but as you know, he is an international bon vivant, if you know anything about Slim Man. Coming to Ram's Head in Annapolis, we're looking forward to that in the next few weeks. Just played San Diego last night, has been in Nashville honing his skills, and what you heard is One by One from 1,000 Miles Away, and I have to say that was Rebecca Vega, background vocals, and her wonderful husband, Mark Antoine, playing guitar throughout the CD. Mark Antoine had some heart surgery, second go-round, and he's resting at home. We just love you and think the world of you, Mark. We heard, too, from George Duke. What is there to say? Deja Vu, a melody, the name of the particular song that you heard. And you know what? Let's play a little music as we're doing this. Let's play some more Daoud Saeed. Yeah, let's do that. And while we're getting ready for Jared, let us just tell you that with that George Duke CD, what he wanted to do was he wanted to go back to the days when his stuff was considered, in quotes here, musically challenging. So who you heard was Nicholas Payton, who's on trumpet on the CD, Hubert Laws on flute, Bob Shepherd on sax, and I think now we should just give a little plug more to Daoud. He's got our intro and our outro music for this music hour. We're going to get to someone in just mere moments. Matter of fact, he's holding. Let me play something by our esteemed guest, shall we? And this is a little tricky because this is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I'm trying to maneuver with a phone and my laptop. And I'm going to try to turn this down a little bit so I don't do a cold end. Trying to think like radio folks. Just enjoy this for a few seconds. I'll be right back. There, now it won't sound so harsh when I go right into something that I think that we should hear. And I'm looking at all these choices that I have. My son, T, loaded up 5 Jared songs for me. That's how cool he is, and I have to thank him for all his help. Matter of fact, you know what? Can we go right into Jared? Let's just put Jared on the air. Jared, you're there, right?
I certainly am. How are you?
I am so tickled. Do you realize, of course, you're my first guest ever?
I feel incredibly honored. When you told me that I was going to be the first guest on your brand new Hybrid Jazz station, it freaked me out. I was very, very thrilled.
Were you?
Absolutely. You know that. You know me.
I know. But listen, we had talked about this because on my old endeavor back in the day, we made it a point that you could come as often as you wanted so you could guest with me. You came about four times.
That's right.
Right?
And each time was a lot of fun and you know, very informative, and it was great. I mean, I had a wonderful time.
Well, I promised you in that last go-round that when this show was going to come to be, you were going to be the first guest, because actually, Jared, you embody some of the things I'm trying to strive for on this particular show. So there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. You know, it's really funny because, you know, I've been doing so many different projects now over the past, I'd say, past 4 or 5 months that are quite a bit different from what I've been recording and what I've done.
Have
with
you?
My four previous CDs, that this seems to be a perfect match, you know, being able to be on your show, and you're doing a very nice mixture of music and not just sticking with the same old, same old.
Oh,
you know,
no.
This is really, really special what you're doing. And, you know, I really, really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, forget the formalities here. What kind of projects are we talking about here, Jared?
Well, you know, Trish, you've been following my career for a while. And uh-huh. You know, sure, there's a lot of your other listeners, you know, have been following it as well. And I've always been known as pretty much a smooth jazz guy. That was my niche. That's where, you know, I was able to reach out to a majority and a bigger mass of people to build up my fan base. And I've been doing that now for about 10 years and or just over 10 years. And now I've helped form a band with my manager, Bruce Nazarian. This band is actually based out of Los Angeles, California, and it's a band called The Brotherhood.
Uh-huh.
That we're now basically going into some vocals, and mainly more along the way of contemporary jazz and funk. And it's a little bit of a departure from what I've been doing.
Wow.
Or should I say what my fans have been and, you know, have known me for, you know, just over 10 years. And it's got an amazing amount of high caliber musicianship. And, I mean, of course, Bruce Nazarian, who's my manager, he was also the guitarist for, the group Brownsville Station back in the 70s.
Yes.
And, he's got a wide array of musicians to choose from. And I just feel very fortunate that he asked me to be the lead sax player, you know, basically the only sax player and vocalist and ewiest, if that's a word.
You know what? You just made it one.
I just made it one, didn't I? Ewiest. I don't even know how to spell it. But we have Giovanni Collier on bass from the Detroit area, and also Jerry Jones on drums and Greg Manning on keyboards, and also Greg Manning on keyboards, a phenomenal keyboard player out of the LA area.
Oh, and I know Greg. I love him.
Yep, and also we have a second keyboardist who is one of my absolute favorites, and he's from Italy, but he lives in Paris, France, and he comes over for the shows. His name is Renato Falaschi, an amazing artist in his own right, and another guy by the name of Gary Stanionis, who's a wonderful percussionist out of the LA area and who tours with everybody. And I'm just really, really happy to be a part of this band. And we've been, you know, going over some material and figuring out exactly what we want to do to get started. And it's really going to be nice. We're going to come out with at least one or two singles firstly, then come out with a project and, you know, to promote it. And then we're going to start doing the live, you know, the live shows, hopefully based on the West Coast and based here on the East Coast as well.
Wow. I did not know this. You were keeping this from me because you were saving it for this show.
Absolutely. You are the first person that I've talked with in an interview about this. And that's not all, Trish. There's even another project that I have just literally put together over the past 2 to 3 days. And that's
really
basically here for the East Coast. It's you remember the Christmas album that we did about 3 years ago and under the moniker of Great Musical Journey.
Yes, Grammaticelle.
That's right. Well, I've actually kept the name of that band intact, even though Mighty Chell now is doing some different things and Gary Granger's doing some different things.
Right.
And I formed a brand new band behind underneath the Great Musical Journey moniker, and now we're doing a tribute to the music of David Sanborn.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and so I have some great musicians in this band here on the East Coast. I have, of course, Attila Molnar on keyboards, who's my absolute favorite keyboardist here on the East Coast, without a doubt.
Oh, my gosh, say no more.
Yep, and of course, on drums, I was very fortunate to get this man. He's actually been out on the road with Marcus Miller and Herbie Hancock in their Tribute to Miles Davis show, a guy by the name of Sean Rickman. So Sean Rickman is good.
Oh, my God. You know what? You don't know. Sean Rickman and I have the same birth date, October 16th, so I've been following his career for the past few years.
Oh, that's great. Good.
You know, that is awesome that you got Sean, because Sean is blowing up.
I mean, Sean right now, is, in my opinion, is one of the absolute best drummers out there. I mean, of course, you know, I'm a huge Dennis Chambers fan, and I have been for many years. But Sean Rickman has got something incredibly special that to me is so well-rounded. He can do so many different things. Not only can he do the fusion, not only can he do the, you know, straight ahead jazz and funk and you know, and avant-garde, but he can also do rock. I mean, he's got an incredible singing voice, which is really going to, you know, come into play in this band for David Sanborn. So I've got him on drums. I've got a wonderful gentleman from Russia on guitar named Matvey Sagalov, who's one of the best guitarists out there as well. And Alfredo Mojica, who has toured with Mesa and many different Jimmy Summers and many different people on percussion.
Oh yes.
And let's see who else. Oh, and Mike Tony Eccles on bass, who absolutely
really
loves the sound of Marcus Miller, and he tours with everybody as well. So I have a very strong East Coast band to play the music of David Sanborn, who, as you know, is my real initial inspiration, you know, to play. And I've been asked by a lot of promoters to put something together in regards, you know, to, you know, a David Sanborn tribute. So I finally am ready to do this. And it took me some time because I was really focusing on the smooth jazz end of what I was doing. But now I feel that the tide is turning, and now it's time to do something, you know, a little bit different. So, and stretch out a bit. So now I think the people are ready for something like this, and I've got the guys in the band that I want, and I'm just blown away. I'm blown away.
Jared, that is such good news. A couple of things. First of all, I'm not a huge fan of tribute shows, but this show revolving around David Sanborn, that's mind-blowing. I don't think anybody has thought about that. That's wonderful. And here's why it's wonderful, because he's still with us. He just had a birthday a few weeks ago. He's still with us. He's still kicking. He's still active. What a way to say how much we appreciate his contribution to jazz through the years, first of all.
You know, he was the one, in my opinion, that really embodied the contemporary jazz alto saxophone sound.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm spanning the whole wide genre of his music, from his debut album, his debut Taking Off album in the 1975, all the way until today. You know, I've always, you know, admired him. I've always admired his sound. He was the one that I faceted my sound basically after, and I still do to this day, because to me he has such a direct emotional sound in his playing that he really is the biggest influence on my, you know, on my playing and on my playing style to this very day. Even though I was playing smooth jazz, you know, for, you know, gosh, 11 years, I still embodied his, you know, tried to embody his sound in my playing. And then, of course, you know, do something different with it so I could make it my own. But I couldn't think of a better person to pay tribute to than to, you know, pay tribute to David Sanborn, and not only his sound, but, you know, what he brought to the music and, you know, how he helped shape the contemporary jazz alto saxophone sound. So basically what I'm doing with this tribute band is just getting back to my roots, getting back to what really inspired me when I was, you know, growing up and when I was, you know, really in my emulation mode, as it were, to basically go back to that and pay homage to it. And yes, I'm very grateful to this day that David Sanborn is still alive and still doing his thing. And, you know, I'm trying to pay homage to him and to, you know, what he's done with contemporary jazz from the early 70s, even back when he was with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. That performed in at Woodstock, you know. I mean, he was at one of the – who would have known by looking at the Paul Butterfield Blues Band back looking at Woodstock and going through those 3 days and looking at that venue and looking at him just being in the horn section, who would have known that he would be one of the godfathers of contemporary jazz? You know, not a lot of people would have known that. And – he wasn't even the main sax player in Paul Butterfield's band. You know, there was another gentleman, and I don't know his name, but David Sanborn obviously, you know, had something very special even back then, even back when he was just playing in a horn section. So, well, you know, that's why I want to pay homage, you know, to him and what he's brought and what he means to me as a musician.
And it's so interesting, Jared, because not only – is he going to be appreciative for the obvious reasons, but you are doing something that is so necessary. You are, for so many, reprioritizing what is important about jazz. Sure, there is a category of straight ahead, and yes, there's the contemporary, and this is what, of course, this show is all about, because hybrid, the whole notion is getting them all together so we can play in the same sandbox. But what you're doing is you are bringing attention to what his intention was when he started out, because he didn't have a notion of him being in a category of smooth jazz. He wanted to play the jazz that he heard in his head, and he wanted it to be meat and potatoes, but he wanted it to be melodic too. So you're really refocusing attention on him, and I would imagine he's just going to be stunned at this.
Well, I hope he, you know, eventually I'm sure he's going to hear about this, and I hope that he will realize that it's in honor of him. It's not for any other purpose but to honor him. And,
wow.
You know, people who know me, who, you know, and especially musicians that have performed with me and that I've performed this over the years, they know me, and they know that I'm the type of person that if there's something or a style or someone that I believe in, then I'm going to stick with them, and I'm going to stick with that style, you know. And whereas I still do like the smooth jazz style, I enjoy that music. What I don't enjoy about it is how formulaic it you know, it's become, you know, especially over the past 5+ years. And I need to stretch out a bit. And the one thing that I wanted to do was to really get back, and I thought, I've been thinking about this for a long time, Trish. I mean, I've been thinking about doing something like that for years. And, you know, I really sat down with it. I talked with my wife, Connie, about this, and I said, you know, I really want to get back to what excited me back when I was a young boy. I want to get
back
to that feeling of, I love this music. I love this sound. I love this direction. And, you know, I talked to her and I said, you know, I'm really thinking about this now. I've had a couple of, you know, quite a few, actually, more than just a couple promoters who have said, you know, Jared, you know, why don't you do like a tribute to David Sanborn? You know, we feel like your style and your sound would be perfect for this. And I, you know, I'd always appreciate that. It was a huge compliment. And, you know, and I just wasn't ready. I was really focusing on the smooth jazz sound. I was focusing on really just encompassing that type of style for a while. And I realized over a period of time that I felt like I'd lost my edge a bit. And it, you know, I think it was because I was trying to really smooth out my style so much that it took me away from what really truly excited me, which was going back in time and realizing and thinking about how excited I got the first time that I heard David Sanborn, and then how I emulated his sound and did everything that I could possibly do to have my alto sound that way. And now with doing this, it has basically given me a recharge, and now doing something like this. And then of course doing something like the Brotherhood with Bruce Nazarian and all those guys in Los Angeles, the funky side of things. That's one thing that I absolutely loved. I mean, I was known before smooth jazz as mainly an R&B player and a funk player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I'm with both of these projects, I'm really getting back to what originally made Jared tick. And, you know, what really made me excited about music. And I'm really looking forward to both of these projects, as if you couldn't tell by the sound of my voice.
I know. You know, I can always tell because you start to blend one word into the next word. Your brain is really thinking ahead.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what's cool about you, what I've always appreciated about you, Jared, and gosh, thousands of people can attest to this, you know, even though you might have been placed in that smooth jazz category, the passion that you brought to the table all the time is what separated you. You never put yourself on autopilot. Maybe it's because of all that Italian blood coursing through you. I don't know. You're a very Mediterranean kind of player. Everything is poured into you. I mean, when you were playing with Peter White a couple of months ago at Blues Alley, we were just sitting there going, look at Jared sweating. He's sweating more than everybody. You put heart and soul into what you do. So it was never, I'm just going to throw this word out there, it was never vacuous music. There's a lot of music out there that is certainly melodic and it flows really well. Does it have the ring of truth? No. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying, you know, and I really appreciate the compliment, Trish. You know, that's one thing that I've tried very, very hard to pride myself on is, you know, and some musicians get it and some musicians don't. And unfortunately, you know, there's been musicians, you know, that will say, oh, yeah, Jared is the most passionate player out there. And other musicians are saying, well, Jared can't play, you know, and
what?
That's fine. But that's fine. It all depends on what, you know, what the musician wants or what they focus on. And that's perfectly fine because all it is a different flavor. That's all it is. So for me, I've always prided myself on trying to basically use my saxophone as a conduit to emphasize what I'm feeling at that moment, you know, and I try very hard never to play the same song the exact same way each time that I play it. I try very, very hard to just let what I'm going through or what my passion is or what I'm feeling at that moment come out, you know, because everybody's different, you know, Trish, everybody, you know, feels differently each and every day. So I really try to encompass that in my playing at that moment. I try to be an at that moment type of player. And sometimes it may come out in a really fast lick or a very high lick or whatever. And sometimes it may come out in just a few sparse notes, but whatever it is, I've always tried to have a certain amount of, you know, pure honesty to my playing. And if I feel like playing something a certain way one time, then I try very hard to do that. You know, I try to convey that in the emotion. But the one thing that I try to not to do is I try not to overthink. You know, I try never to overthink and you know, think of, okay, well, this coming up, I'm going to try, you know, a dominant seventh chord and this and that and the other. I try not to think technical like that. I just try to go from the heart and what I'm feeling at the moment. And that's all I've ever tried to do.
And I know that you do that. You've been doing that consistently for a number of years now. I'm going to let folks understand what it is that you do. And this particular song from Manhattan Nights, Jared, I just want to let you know, and I know, again, I speak for a number of people, when you are able to play your instrument in a way, it's instrumental music, there are no vocals. So it already becomes like a global resonance. It doesn't have to have a language. People in Africa can feel the same thing in France as in the States. This particular song makes me yearn for what it is that you tried to express. When whatever inspiration, and I'm sure Connie was part of this inspiration, but dancing with you on Manhattan Nights is just such a healing song. It's It's what women who are looking for love want to hear in their heads when the magic moment comes along.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, that was one of those songs that Michael Broning, my current producer and hopefully my forever producer, did. And to me, the whole vision was, okay, I see two people dancing in the moonlight. They're on the balcony overlooking the ocean, and just two couples in love. And that's why I called it Dancing With You, because that's the vision that that evoked when I heard this song.
Well, we have to play at least two songs while you're with us. Let us play this song because it captures a moment. It shows how adept you are at conveying passion and feeling and romance. The show is called Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Jared is our special guest, and this is from his Manhattan Night CD, Dancing With You. my goodness. Jared, what have you done with that song?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Trish.
Oh, my goodness. From Manhattan Nights, our special guest on the launch show of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And that particular song, there's a number of standouts. Actually, that CD is chock full of songs. So you gave people their money's worth. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know, it was funny because I was only scheduled to record 10 songs with Michael Broning. And, you know, for this album, but we were having such a great time, you know, in the studio that I looked at him and I said, I don't want this to end. I said, so let's do at least four more. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Come on. So we did. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with every song that came, you know, came out of that camp. And, you know, I can't wait until I finally do another solo CD with him. It might be a little while because I'm doing these other projects now. I know that the next CD that I'm going to be recording is with the Brotherhood.
Oh,
so,
great.
That'll be coming up hopefully by the beginning of the year, I would say, having the whole entire CD finished. But we'll see how it goes. But definitely we want to come out with a new CD under the Brotherhood, and then we'll see what happens after that.
God, you are going to be so busy in 2012. This is like the next leg. This is opens up a whole new realm to your career, and you had to wait, I know, until you were ready for it, but you're going to be on the road a lot, and you're going to be getting some new fans because, Jared, I'm just stunned. I'm so glad that you told me the news first.
Absolutely. You know, it's just one of those things, and I want to let all of the you know, my smooth jazz friends and fans out there, I call them my smooth jazz family. You know, I just want to let them know I'm not abandoning them at all. You know, I will be coming out with another CD, another Jared CD, probably sometime in 2012. But right now my focus is doing a few different things here. You know, I've been doing, this, like I said, you know, told you earlier, the smooth jazz thing for 10 years. And now I want to do something a little bit different and explore a different type of realm, as it were. And it basically, like I said, it's getting back to my roots, getting back to the way that Jared came into smooth jazz. And I'm ready to do that now. So, but I don't want people to worry. You know, I'm not abandoning any of my smooth jazz listeners and friends and family out there. So I'm just taking a little bit of a detour for a while.
Now, Jared, I have to take it a task on this because, first of all, you never have to apologize or even come close to those folks who have been following you because, first of all, the reason they're following you is because of the honesty in your music. You never put yourself in the position where you are doing the formula as many others have. You always wanted to make sure that each time you did anything, it had integrity. So I would be amazed if folks are wringing their hands going, that's it, I'm done with Jared, oh, forget it. If he doesn't sound exactly the way he sounded in Manhattan Nights, I'm done. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that people are so smitten with you as the artist that whatever you decide to do is going to be something that holds your passion. Because if you don't play music that has passion, what's the point of listening?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I do agree, you know, but with me, you know, in regards to working so hard in the smooth jazz genre for so many years,
right.
You know, I really never take anything for granted anymore.
I understand.
I never take for granted that, you know, a fan is going to like what I do or a fan is going to hate what I do. You know, I always am very appreciative of anybody who likes what I do. And that's why, you know, for those people who really do like what I do, that's why I want to let them know first, you know, coming straight from the horse's mouth here that, you know, I'm not abandoning them in any way, shape or form. And I hope you're right. I hope that they are, you know, smitten with me, the musician and me, the artist, what I do. However, I never take for granted anything. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of everybody that has reached out to me from all over the world and said, hey, you know, your music has made my day a little bit brighter. Or, you know, hey, I've been, you know, listening to your music for years and glad that I found you here on Facebook. you know, or someone who will reach out to me saying, you know, I lost someone recently, and then I heard your song for Diane on Manhattan Nights, and it really made me, you know, I feel like that we've gone through the same thing, and I just want to let you know how much, you know, how important your music is. I mean, I've received, you know, literally every single week, you know, emails from people and that I had no idea even knew of me, and sections of the world that I didn't even realize basically knew my music at all or knew of me at all. And it's a very touching thing to have people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, your music has touched me in a very positive way. And for those people, that's why I'm saying, you know, I will never take those people for granted ever.
I understand. And, you know, speaking along that positive feeling, you mentioned Diane, and you are talking about the amazing and esteemed late Diane Granger, who was your drummer.
That's right. And, you know, she's passed away at such a young age, you know, from just a freak, crazy accident. And, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her, you know. And, you know, and of course I work hand in hand with, you know, her father, Greg Granger, on drums, and her uncle, Gary Granger, on bass. I work with them pretty much every single day or every single weekend when they're in town and when I'm in town. And, you know, it's every time I'm around them, it's a constant reminder. You know, and I can only imagine what they go through. I mean, I hope I never have to go through anything like what they've had to go through. However, being around them is, you know, wonderful in a lot of different ways, but it's also hard in a lot of different ways too, because it reminds me of Diane and how important she was, even, you know, to me in my life. I mean, she was such good friends with my wife, and they had become so close that it was like losing a child. It was like losing one of our own. You know, and she was only a few years older than my son, and literally only a few years older than Connie's son, you know, and it was literally like losing one of our own children, and it was hard. It's really hard.
Well, Jared, I will say this. T and I, as you know, went to that service, and it was one of the most inspiring church goings ever. Because Diane, in her short life, had lived a life of someone who was three times as old as she was. And, you know, people kept saying, and I had never really heard this expression before, but now you understand this, that when someone so special is taken so young, it affects powerfully thousands for years to come. And Diane, Angel that she was involved with a group called the Musicianship.
Right.
And what she did was, it's so amazing. She used to go out, for those folks who didn't know Diane, she used to go out in the streets and find kids. And then when there was, like, organizations, she would make sure that kids had instruments. And that's what the Musicianship does, because music was so important to her. She wanted to make sure the disadvantaged had her opportunities. So you see how life goes on in her name. Anita King, who we both know, who's my good friend, she's doing a benefit in Alexandria in the next month for the Musicianship.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, and that's the one thing about the Musicianship is, before Diane passed away, her and the young gentleman that she was basically building a school for these children, they would have their meetings. They would come over here and have their meetings here in my home, because they didn't want to be around, you know, a lot of people, and they wanted to. I don't know if it's because they wanted to keep it under wraps, but they wanted someplace comfortable, someplace safe that they could go to, and just discuss it in a very positive light. And they knew. Diane knew how much that Connie and I supported her. So they would come over and have meetings here. You know, I mean, literally they had a meeting a month before she passed away, you know, here at the house. And, you know, it's just so hard, you know, to even think about her being gone. I mean, I have videos of her, you know, the last performance that she had here, that we had together was at a place called Opus 88. It was out in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, and my guitarist had a video just, you know, just in a lark, you know, he called me up and said, you know, Jared, do you mind if I you know, take some video of the band. She goes, I just want it for my own, you know, for my own records and, you know, maybe possibly to help promote the band a little bit. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And who would have known that that would be the last performance, you know, with my band that she would ever do. And we were fortunate enough to have it on DVD. And you know,
yeah.
I put it on occasionally. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to get through. It, you know, it's still hard to this day to realize that she's been gone, you know, 2 years already.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I can tell you, it's not an easy thing.
Well, we won't dwell on this too much longer, except to
right.
say that, you know what, how amazing is it that you can feel that much? Isn't that glorious? Because honestly, some people go through their lives and they never feel that deeply. They don't feel the loss. And to be able to feel, whether it's in the depths of despair or when you are gloriously in love and everything is perfect in the world, how amazing is it to feel?
I know, you know, and you know, it's great, but it's also very difficult at times. You know,
especially for you, because you are so sensitive, and
right.
you're so loyal, and you can't understand why people aren't like the way you are. And I just chuckle sometimes because I know how you get. You know very much what is right and what is wrong, and you, Jared, need people to step up to the plate, and when they don't, I know that you get miffed.
Well, maybe just a little bit.
I know you do. Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, these new projects, are you going to be did you mention this? And forgive me, because this is the first show, so my mind is in a thousand directions. Are you going to be singing in any of these projects?
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure if I am or not, to be perfectly honest with you. There's only been a few albums that David Sanborn has done of his own, under his own name, to where he's had, you know, some vocals.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure yet. I know that my wife wants me to do a lot of singing. Kind of like my biggest advocate when it comes to singing and comes to my career, believe me.
Trust me, I know. Boy, because as much as you are a pit bull, she's a pit bull. I love Connie.
I might interject a couple of my own songs in there off of my albums, you know, that I've done where I've done some singing. I might do that. I'm not sure yet. That's undecided because I want – how can I put this? I want this show, especially the one for David Sanborn, I really want this to really encompass and be about him and not about me, not even about my band, but about the legacy that David Sanborn has created since his inception. And honestly, coming from, you know, a business person like I am, people are saying, Jared, you don't want this to be about you? No, I don't. Not when it comes to this project. I want this to be about the music. I want this to be about what David Sanborn has done. All I'm trying to be is a conduit, just like every other musician that I hand selected for this band is a conduit, you know. And I mean, I've known all of David Sanborn's bands for so many years. I've followed him. I've studied him. I've studied his musicians. And that's why I was able to hand select exactly who I wanted to have in this band. And I was very, very happy to get exactly who I wanted in this band to really be the conduit for this type of music. So I don't want this to be about me. That's why I picked all of these superstar musicians that are every bit as well known as I am and every bit as well respected as I am in this genre, that I wanted it to be about the music. Now, the Brotherhood, you know, absolutely, I'm going to be doing some singing in that. You know,
that's
we have
great.
Some other great musicians in that band and great vocalists in that band. But that's the one thing that Bruce Nazarian wanted to focus on was, you know, obviously me being kind of like the lead voice, whether it be vocally or whether it be, you know, through my saxophone. So, yes, in that group, in the Brotherhood, I will definitely be, you know, quite a bit of singing, but in the Great Musical Journey, David Sanborn tribute band, I don't know. I would, if I had to venture, I would say probably not. But I'm still weighing that out right now because I've got my wife saying, people are really going to want to hear you sing, you know, and I'm trying to balance this out. This isn't about me. And I'm trying to explain to her, this is not about Jared. This is about David Sanborn. This is about his legacy. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's still up in the air, but I'm leaning heavily to just play the alto on this project.
Well, you know, as far as the vocals are concerned, you know, because we've talked about this from Manhattan Nights, you know what one of my little favorites was on
right.
that CD.
Yes.
Because there was a time where you sent me the preliminary take and said, what do you think? And I was just weeping, drinking my little glass of wine as you sent it to me on email so long ago.
That's right. I mean, you were the first person, should I say the first radio personality that really heard that. And you heard it even before it was completely mixed. You heard raw tracks. So
yes.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of had forgotten that, but that is true. I hadn't sent that to anybody else.
Well, it was really special, and you know, you and I might differ as far as what you feel in the way of remaking a song. My feeling is that you've got to remake a song and bring something really special, really personal, because the first time around it was great. But you did something so cool with How Deep Is Your Love that I still get a little quake whenever I hear it.
Oh, please don't say quake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoops.
That scared me to death, I have to tell you. I mean, for the people who don't know, here, because I live in the Silver Spring area, and we actually had an earthquake that was pinpointed around the Charlottesville, Virginia area, which is 135 miles away from here.
Right.
But we were having a rehearsal. As a matter of fact, I was having a rehearsal with Gary and Greg Granger and
oh, really?
and Eli Staples and some other people downstairs. Wawa was there. And all of a sudden, I looked. The house started moving a little bit, and I looked at Greg like, what the heck is Connie doing upstairs? I thought maybe she had loaded the washing machine wrong, and it was off balance, and it was shaking the house a bit. And then it got worse. And I looked around, and I'm like, okay, we're having a quake. Let's get out of here. So we quickly put our instruments down, ran outside, and waited for it to stop. And it seemed like an eternity, but it was only probably, if I had to guess, around 20 or 30 seconds.
Right.
But yeah, we had a quake that I don't know what it measured here, but I know that in Virginia, where it was, the epicenter was like right around 5.8 or 5.9 on the Richter scale, which is unheard of.
That's correct. Yeah.
I mean, it was
yep.
it. And 1897 was the last big quake that Virginia had. 1897, and we're talking that's 114 years ago, and it was 5.8. So this was unheard of for this area, and believe me, it scared me. So maybe the word quake is a little.
I'm sorry.
Just a little subject at this moment.
I have to say that, you know, I really do start the day off with the Tom Joyner Morning Show. So Huggy Lowdown was on the show this morning, and he was talking about aftershocks in D.C. last night.
Yep, that's right.
He said it was so scary that it made him get up and leave the massage parlor. Oh, my
yep,
God.
That sounds like Huggy.
He is a trip. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and it's going to be one of those things that people talk about for a long time. Where were you when the earthquake happened?
Oh, my.
Phew.
Well, that was definitely the first conscious earthquake that I'd been through. I know that we had one that was based around the Rockville area or the Germantown, Maryland area a little over a year ago in July of 2010, and it was 3.6, but that was at like 5:30 in the morning. And I remember it woke me up, and I felt something, and then I finally came to, and then by that time it had finished, and I'm like, Connie, what was that? She goes, we that the whole house was shaking. She says, oh, it's probably an earthquake. Just go back to sleep. And I'm like, what? So this was the first conscious earthquake that I'd been through, and it scared the you know what out of me. Let me tell you,
right?
It's still so funny because
one of my Facebook friends is Rain Pryor, the late Richard Pryor's daughter, and she has moved from L.A. to Baltimore, and she's posting on Facebook, look, I left there to get away from this stuff, okay? my gosh.
Oh, that's
well, listen,
funny.
We're talking about your vocals. I've just got to play How Deep Is Your Love. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, of course. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
You know, we talk about Jared and the talent that he has, and there aren't a lot of truly awesome saxophonists out there who can do what Jared does. And by the way, he knows how to repair your instrument too.
You know, it's funny. I just got finished repairing Eddie Bacchus's instruments. He had
really?
Some issues with his alto, soprano, tenor, and his baritone sax, and he called me up one day and said, and left a message for me. His voice was kind of upset. And he said, he's like, Jared, I've jacked up my horns. Can you take a look? I've got a gig tonight. I'm like, yeah, come on over, brother. No problem. So I fixed his main instruments, you know, I'm really getting into that. Not a lot of people knew that, but I've been repairing my own saxophones now for over 20 years. And I learned from some of the best in the industry.
Wow.
Including a guy named Emilio Lyons, who's the sax doctor out of Boston, and of course my good friend Keith Carey, who actually sold me my first Mark VI alto that I still play to this very day. And he moved out to Colorado, but he was originally in College Park, Maryland. So I learned a majority of what I know from him. And a lot of people don't know that I repair saxophones, and I'm a saxophone repair specialist, but I've kept it on the down low for a long period of time because I just didn't want to be inundated with that, because that's not where my focus was.
You know, I wish you hadn't said down low, because that's my dating history. That's a different story, Jared, okay? Anyway. Oh, yeah, well, I want folks to know how amazing this is, and they're going to hear it for themselves. This is from Manhattan Nights. This is Jared on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, the debut show, How Deep Is Your Love? I? Where am I? Oh, that is Jared from Manhattan Nights. And how deep is your love? I hope the brother Barry that gets everything together, that the leader of the band of the Gibb Brothers, I hope that if he hasn't heard that already, he does, because he would appreciate your take on that so much.
Well, I hope so. You know, the one thing that I wanted to try to do was to just, you know, keep the character of the song. And, you know, whenever I do any type of cover tune or remake, the one thing that I try to do is I try not to make it so obscure by trying to make it so different that it's fairly unrecognizable. I always tried to keep the integrity of the original song, and I didn't want to do it too differently. The only thing I did was slow down the tempo a bit, and, you know, I added some extra vocal harmonies and such. But basically the song, most people who heard that song obviously go back in time to the late 70s, and they remember the song Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
You know, or they remember the movie Saturday Night Fever, and that's one of the big songs that was in that movie. And it just takes you back to a time of you know, when things were a little bit different. And that's the one thing that I wanted people, when they heard this song, were to have that same type of feeling, to where it takes them back to the movie, it takes them back to when that song was popular, and takes them back to a time, and it makes them smile. It's a feel-good song. So that's what I was trying to do, was just basically keep the integrity of the song.
Well, Jared, you know, this is something to put under your hat when you do your new endeavor with the Jazz Funk Organization. You could hit those high notes on Stayin' Alive, you know.
Oh, well. You know, I might be able to do that. I don't know. I did do all the backup parts, the backup vocal tracks on the on that song that we just heard. So, you know,
I'd
originally scheduled a female vocalist, Mighty Chell, who you know, Mighty Chell McGay, to come in and do that. And then I was recording the vocals at Attila Molnar's studio in his home. And I, you know, we had some wine, and I played the lead track. And, you know, he likes red wine like I like red wine. And, of course, Connie was there, and she ended up bringing a bottle or two over. And Attila says, you know, why don't you can sing high like that. Why don't you just try it? I'm like, okay, what the heck? So I went ahead and I said, I'm going to have a little bit more wine. So let's just say that I was feeling no pain, you know, or any inhibitions when I was recording those tracks. It was a lot of fun. And Attila was right. You know, Attila's a really, really fine producer in his own right already. And, you know, I took his advice, and it worked out well. So I'm thankful to him for and Connie for saying, yeah, guy, Jared, go ahead and do it. You can do all the vocals. Go ahead and do it. I'm like, okay.
And Attila, God love him, because not only is he so astute on that keyboard, but he's such an organized fellow. You know, all those years of being involved in situations that would have driven anybody else crazy at the club where he used to play. Where was that club? What city was that, Jared?
I think it was in Budapest, actually.
Budapest,
From where he was from. I think that's where where that club was, where he was playing, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure of the city, but I knew he certainly is Hungarian. And as you are doing, I love this idea, and that's part of the reason for the show, too, because I really want to focus on folks who may or may not be internationally known as you are or as Attila is, but who reside in this region, because there's so much talent. God, we've talked about this so much, but folks definitely choose to live in the Maryland, D.C. area. And, you know, Philly got a nod to my hometown there, too. But this corridor is just so cool, and a lot of folks from New York come to this region in order to learn. Can you say an amen? You know that's true.
Amen. And I've been saying this and screaming this to the top of my lungs ever since I moved to this area, you know, and back in 1985, and realized that you know, the talent that's here. I mean, there are so many world-class players that are unknown, but definitely known to you and I, you know, and to the fans that are around here. There's so many that are from the Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia area. I mean, from this two-hour radius, you know, and even Northern Virginia, there's so many. so I'm, you know, I'm glad that now finally people are beginning to see this, beginning to recognize this. I'm thrilled with
that. I definitely think that that is the case, and we're going to do what we can on the show. I'm playing the music underneath us, Jared, because we're going to go, and I want to be able to keep in touch with you about what you're doing. So your website is jared.com.
That is correct.
Correct?
It's www.jared.com. That's right.
God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon. I don't want anybody to not have the last taste of this show. We're playing Manhattan Nights in the background. God bless you for being my first guest ever.
Thank you so much, Trish. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you forever and a day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
You too. This has been Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We've talked to Jared. Join us on Tuesday from 2 to 4 Eastern U.S. time. Thank you, and God bless.